There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Another hour of live local talk. And by the way, if you want to share that interview with Danny Litford, with your friends, the conversation of why lumber prices are where they are, and like so many other people who called in different building prices, kind of breaking that down and what might happen next, that podcast, you can go to our website and get it directly or subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, all those places. You can grab it there, listen again, share it with friends and family. And if they got questions about what's happening out there, it's probably a good resource to get some of them answered. All right, let's talk about answering some questions. This is something that came up about a week and a half ago. So we're in the kitchen. I don't know, or if I was, whatever. So the wife looks over at me and she said, Sean, I need to turn this over to you. And I said, what is it? And she was on Twitter. And we're at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, and she's on there on a different name. I don't know but you'll probably see her in some of our tweets. And she said, Epicurious magazine or publication, it's a cooking thing. I'd heard of it before. I don't think I've ever picked one up. Is on here saying that they're going to remove beef from their promoted recipes, right? So they do all these recipes, and say this. So here we go. This is what Epicurious announced last week. It said... Today, Epicurious announces that we've done just that. We've cut beef out. Beef will not appear in our new Epicurious recipes, articles, or newsletters. It will not show up on our homepage. It will be absent from our Instagram feed. And they had gone on to say that people wanting to envision a more sustainable way to cook, cutting beef out is a worthwhile first step. Almost 15% of greenhouse gas emissions globally come from livestock and everything involved in raising it. 61% of those emissions can be traced back to beef. Cows are 20 times less efficient to raise than beans and roughly 3 times less efficient than poultry and pork. And then they went on to say, it might not feel like much, but cutting out just a single ingredient, beef, can have an outsized impact on making a person's cooking more environmentally friendly. So they put that out, and then a bunch of people jumped on. They're like, yeah. And then, so as a part-time cattleman, I guess full-time, just don't make my whole living from it. As my grandfather told me way back, I said, I want to be like you, Granddad, and be a farmer. He said, well, go do something else to make money so you can lose it farming. We have heard, so I challenge those people on there to guess the impact of our herd and the impact of herds in Alabama and what that means. And it, quickly, the argument went to all emotion and not fact. So I thought we'd bring this out for a bigger audience here on FM Talk 106.5 on the air and talk about the facts of this. And let's get some real conversation going here. And a guest who's been on with us before, but it's been too long, with the Alabama Cattlemen's Association, Aaron Beasley, joining us now to talk more about that. Aaron, thanks for coming back.
Sean, you got me on for a good topic here.
This is so Epicurious magazine. They say they're cutting out beef. That no beef, because beef is the worst thing. Look at all these other things you can raise and not destroy the environment.
Well, I'll say this first. It's going to be a sad grilling season for the fans of Epicurious
right.
As we come into the summer grilling season. I know at our house we'll continue to eat beef because we know the facts behind this discussion.
And that's the important thing. What are because people are hearing this, and I'm with you. Don't worry, we're grilling, we're grilling beef at my house. Although we'll grill some vegetables, but no tofu. Grill beef at our house. But what are the facts? Like, is these Epicurious goes on and gives this virtue signal that they're out because beef is so bad. Cows are so bad for the planet.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they grab their quote facts, but we definitely have some to to add to this conversation. And at the end of the day, you know, cattle are part of the solution to the environment. They are not in any way a negative impact to it. You know, some of the just quick-hitting facts about beef cattle production in the United States. First of all, it is the most efficient across the world, most importantly. We produce more with less. We've always done that. We've been doing sustainability before sustainability was even a term thrown out there. If you look at the amount of beef that we're able to raise, our contribution to greenhouse gas emissions, I mean, the facts say it's 2%. You know, I'm sure those folks are also jumping on airplanes and going places and doing different things, but at the end of the day, we've been working for decades, and over time, we've been able to decrease our emissions by 40% since the 60s, and that's before anybody was talking about sustainability. So, you know, I think our industry has done everything that we need to. We're going to continue to work on it, and once again, cattle are a solution. They're not a problem here.
Yeah, and that's one of the – you talk about efficiency. And I'll tell you, folks, that with – like Aaron's saying, that the drive to be efficient is dictated by the marketplace and somebody being able to make a living or some part of their living from raising cattle. The efficiency is there because it needs to be by the market. The benefit of that is it's sustainable. I think that word, you said sustainable. Heck, I think about here at Alabama, but what about our ranchers out west? All those things that Epicurious listed after they said they weren't going to do beef, try extracting protein from, you know, West Texas or Western Kansas or Eastern Colorado. Try that on.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, when they talk about cutting out beef, they're not just cutting out high-quality protein from their diets. They're cutting out the ability of people to operate and have a livelihood. They're cutting out the ability of taking cattle to convert grass, which not all land in the United States is cropland. That's a known fact. Most of it is not. You can't grow crops on it, but you can grow grass. What can you graze on grass? You can grow cattle. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at a lot of different factors here that, unfortunately, they're glazing over. And you know, for our industry, once again, I know I keep saying it, but we've been doing this a long time, and we've gotten better every decade at what we're doing, and the proof's in the pudding. We produce the most beef across the entire world. We produce high-quality protein. Everybody wants our product because we're good at it, and we have a positive impact on the environment. And you know what? That's something that we've been preaching in D.C. a lot the last few months, is that, you know, we're the original environmentalist, and we're going to stick to those facts because we do have the facts behind us.
Okay, and so help people. Let's, like, maybe some a little primer thing on facts. Is people who, you know, want to, number one, make sure they know what really is going on, and then maybe when somebody in their office says, well, we're not, you know, we're not eating beef. Look what I don't know if anybody's ever going to quote Epicurious for their reason not to, but let's give me a second here. But they did. In this world, they say, I'll tell you what, Bob, I'm not going to eat any beef because of what Epicurious said. And so you're going down and saying sustainability is there. Can we talk about this? They say 61% of the emissions, this is what Epicurious was saying, emissions can be traced back to beef.
Again, I don't know where they're pulling those numbers from, but the research that you can find on beefitswhatsfordinner.com, it clearly outlines that the research that's been done in this area, it shows that greenhouse gas emissions for beef production are 10 to 50 times lower than they are in other regions of the world. It shows that from 1961 to 2018, we've reduced our emissions by 40%. And at the end of the day, direct emissions from the cattle industry are only accounting for 2% of the overall GHG emissions in the entire country. And so, you know, 2%, when you're talking about growing a high-quality protein, I'm going to keep eating my steaks just like you, Sean.
Yeah, I wonder about that, too. And you mentioned airplanes, and I want to make sure, you know, I don't know the facts. I wonder what the footprint, and I don't want to do away with air travel either, but what the impact of somebody flying from coast to coast to go tell somebody from California flying to New York to tell them how bad beef is, or going to Washington to tell them how many cows that accounts for. You know, how many planes you fly equals how many cows.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are some really good research studies out there that show, you know, the improvements that we're making. And you know what? We need every industry. You know, I'm not trying to single out a single industry because I don't think that that's the right way to approach it. We need all industries. We need high-quality protein and good food in this country and across the world. And cattle is a good way to get that accomplished.
talk about us back here at home in Alabama, some stats, kind of where we are as a cattle state.
Sure.
Number of, you know, what's our production, number of people that are farming or ranching, growing cattle. What do we look like here?
Yeah, a couple quick hitters. We've got about 1.3 million head in the state. You know, everybody knows, or I think most people know, that agriculture is the largest industry in terms of economic impact in the state. And within that agriculture commodity, beef cattle ranks in the top three in terms of production and economic impact. And so, you know, across the, when you compare Alabama to the rest of the country, we're in the top 20 in terms of beef producing states. And we've got about 20,000 farms in the state that have cattle on them. So, you know, we're hanging in there. We continue to be a very, very hot source for procuring cattle that are going to go into the feed yard and turn into high quality protein. And, you know, our producers have done a fantastic job of really looking at their production practices, looking at their genetics, looking at better ways to feed cattle, graze cattle, convert grass into high quality protein. And you know, that's something that we're going to continue to do thanks to the research that we get from, you know, different universities, especially Auburn here in Alabama. So.
Yeah, and you talk about that and the grass, turning grass into protein, which is exactly what is happening. And the idea that somebody would do the sustainability or the, and I'm a green guy, right? I'm an environmentalist guy, and for a number of reasons, because it's important to me. But number two, I'm not going to overgraze, overutilize land because it's bad business. It's just, I mean, there's, I have two motivations, right? To do what's right by the environment, but it's just bad business. This idea that it's this slash and burn overgraze, it's foolish. It's old thinking.
It really is. That's a great point. And, you know, I hear producers say it all the time. You know, what I put into my cattle is what I'm going to get out of my cattle. And, and it's the same way on our farm. What we put into them is what we're going to get out of them. And so that means, you know, making sure that we're grazing our pastures the proper way, making sure that we're, you know, keeping them up and doing the things we need to do. If we need to be feeding hay, we're feeding hay. If we need to be supplementing with some grain, we need to do that as well. And, you know, in Alabama, we are so good at growing forages. We're very fortunate here to be with our environment, the moisture and the different soil types that we have. We can grow grasses basically year-round. And we've got some producers that are outstanding grass growers. And I even have a few cattlemen in leadership. You know, they say, hey, yeah, we grow cattle, but man, we grow grass. And they know that by growing that high quality forage and making sure that they're maintaining it, that it's going to be better for their cattle at the end of the day. And when they sell them and they go to the feed yard and finish out, it's going to produce a better product at the end of the day for our consumers, which is what we're aiming to do.
That's just joining us, talking to Executive Vice President, Alabama Cattlemen's Association, Aaron Beasley, who's been our guest in the past. We had talked through the pandemic as well and through the shutdown. We were looking at beef prices and what was missing there. We kind of looked at the production side to the retail side. Back then, you and I talked about, would this be, I'm always looking for silver linings and gray clouds, and would this be a motivation for some more local processing or regional processing? So we're growing these cattle, but at that point you were talking about these major producer or the major meat packers, and when they would shut down, you know, 10 states away or three states away, it affected what was happening when we were selling here. What about getting back to a like it used to be 50 years ago, even like local regional meat packing, something here with Alabama folks running it? Are we doing any better on that, or is there any kind of hope there going forward?
Well, there's definitely a movement for making sure that we're focusing on looking at the feasibility of maintaining, opening and maintaining more small processors for producers here in Alabama that are maybe doing freezer beef or doing some local items that they're growing. You know, as far as like the overall landscape across the country, the good news is that there have been some announcements of plants either expanding or bringing online some smaller, maybe what you call regional style plants. So I think the movement is there. There's been a pretty good push at the federal level to provide some grant programs in the future for things like that. We're even doing things here at the state level. We're actually funding right now a feasibility study for what meat processing can be in the state. What can we maintain and sustain over the next few decades if we do increase in any way. And so I think the movement is definitely there. At the end of the day, it's not a light switch that you can flip. You can't just say, I'm going to open a packing plant and go do it. You've got to have a lot of things sinking in line to be able to do that. But I think we're going to see long term, I think that you will see an increase in shackles, as we say, where you're able to hang more carcasses. And at the end of the day, right now, the Packers do still have the leverage because there's more cattle. We've got a ton of cattle that we need to get harvested, and there's just not enough plants to do it at the moment. They're still handling some issues internally with labor. You know, every industry I talk to right now is talking about labor issues. And agriculture is no different. It doesn't matter if you're talking on the farm side or on the processing side. And for us, it is, in fact, on the processing side as well. So there's some problems there. We're still dealing with some supply chain issues, similar to what we talked about last year. And, you know, it all comes down to leverage, and it all comes down to supply and demand. And right now, there's a lot of cattle out in the marketplace, and we need to find places to get them harvested.
You got that right. Aaron, I appreciate our conversations. Remind folks, they want to get more information about Alabama Cattlemen's Association, or they're looking, you know, for just this whole discussion to make sure they have the facts when they hear that, you know, Epicurious is banning beef from their recipes. Where would you send them online?
I definitely set them straight and ask them to go check out beefitswhatsfordinner.com for any of those sustainability facts, any good beef facts. And then in terms of learning more about the association, the best way to stay up to date with us is to become a member so you get our monthly publication. And you can find out all the information about that at bamabeef.org.
Tell you what, that publication is dangerous, though, because there's every time I open it, there's a new piece of equipment that I feel like I need. But
hey, between equipment and sales, we'll get you set up with some cattle and some tractors.
Good stuff. Aaron, I hope to talk again very soon. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron Beasley, Executive Vice President with the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile straight ahead.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. And Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Mobile County, Baldwin County, you've got junk. I've seen it. I was at your house the other day, and I didn't want to say anything when I was there, but you need my buddy Trey. It could be at your house, could be a business, could be a storage unit you need cleaned out. Heck, it could be the backyard. You got storage shed in the backyard. You want the stuff out of it, or you want the whole storage shed gone? You can do that. You got the above ground pool. You've got the trampoline. All that gone. He can handle that. He and the crew can handle that. It could be stuff inside your house as well. And I'll tell you something. I don't talk about this all the time. I should, though. That I love, and it's kind of, you know, part of what Trey's. It's his business model, but it's also who he is. If you have him over and you say, okay, like this, all this stuff is going to junk, but here's this dining room set or something like insert your charity. For me, I'd say I want to give something to Catholic Social Services, right? He says, okay, I can deliver that to Catholic Social Services, take the rest of it as junk. He can split loads like that too. Just ask him and they'll work with you. And here's how you set up that appointment. It's pretty easy. Do it today. Set something up for next week to get it done. You go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to find a day that works for you, okay, and then the window of time that works for you, and they'll set an appointment, and then they'll show up. See, these are wild concepts, but it's part of the it's the key to the business model at 1-800-GOT-JUNK to find an appointment time that works for you to show up, and they quote you a price on the job right there. They look at it. You say, okay, I need this, this, and this gone. They'll quote you a price. You say yes. They get to work and get it done. They're gone. Check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. So this a lot of cow talk here. I like this. David says, I understand people are concerned about the environment and greenhouse gases and want to reduce greenhouse emissions around the world. I want to do my part too, so I pledge to eat every piece of beef put in front of my face to help reduce greenhouse gases on this planet. David, we appreciate your step there. Go look at the research, though. I mean, you can still not like cattle ranching. You might not like farming, but what Epicurious put out in that article that put me into that Twitter scrum was just not true. So, I mean, just go look at the facts, and then you can still disagree with me, but let's just do it on the facts, okay? Be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Friday-style Midday Mobile. Man, it is gorgeous outside, too. Fantastic. In our next studio, that'll be coming soon, well, it's a whole conversation for another day, I'm going to get a convertible where I can hit a button and the roof drops back on that studio for days like this. It's also looking at a pretty, very pretty Mother's Day weekend. And make no mistake, it's a Mother's Day weekend. Of course, the penultimate of it is on Sunday on Mother's Day. And so I bring my friend Angelo in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry for his most important report of the entire year is the one we do on the Friday leading into Mother's Day. And this is it. Angelo, you're all hands on deck.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Yeah, it is pretty much all hands on deck. You know, it's a couple days away. Mother's Day is this Sunday. We're open this afternoon. We're open tomorrow until 2. We've actually had a really busy morning here at the shop with folks coming in shopping for mom. And you know, there's a lot of folks out there like you, Sean. You're sort of in that double jeopardy position. You've got to find something really nice for your mother, you know, wonderful lady. But then you've also got to help the kids find something really nice for their mother and your wife, another wonderful lady. So you've got to try to really, you know, stretch your dollar, find some really cool, unusual pieces, and we can make all of those things happen right here.
This was great, too. And you're talking about stretching your dollar. So, y'all, over time, I've come in for Mother's Day and different holidays, and I said, okay, Angelo, my budget. He'll ask me, like, what's your budget? What are you going to spend? I'll say this. And I'm thinking, okay, if I can spend this, I can get one of these or one of those. And I end up getting two or three of these and those by the time I'm done. I mean, you work miracles.
Well, we really try to do a great job for our folks getting quality products, great products at a great value. And then, of course, there's people like you that say, hey, this is the amount I want to spend. So rather than buy one thing, you'll get two or three. And you do that sort of little subtle sleight of hand thing where the first one's like, oh, that's really nice, honey. And then you go, oh, well, here's the other one.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess there's a level where their eyes have lit up enough and you stop at that point. And you've still got a gift or two in reserve.
It's awesome. People know exactly what you're talking about, that feeling. All right. So people can come in. Obviously, today, you said open tomorrow till 2. They need to come in and I'd say come in early because there's going to be a lot of us coming in to shop here at the last minute. We talked the other day, and just some thought starters. Now, when people get in the shop, they're going to see all the stuff, but we talked about precious metals in a collectible way. We also talked about, and I know I seem like a one-trick pony, but I've given those Open-L knife sets, the gardening knife set, the kitchen set. They've been big hits.
Well, they are a really popular item, and so many people nowadays, they like to entertain for fun. They like to show off to their friends and family as they're coming over for drinks or tea or whatever it is. And those Open-L knives are beautiful. They're unusual and unique to most of us down here in the South. We're an official Open-L dealer, so we've got a huge variety and well-stocked right now. They pair up well with anything. It's a reasonably priced gift. So a great item there. Like you talked about, that gold and silver bullion, thousands of pieces of jewelry in stock right now. So if you're one of those people that sometime tonight you're going to go, oh, man, I need to do something about this, we can help you out a little bit. You can go onto our website, mobilebaycoins.com. You can click that shopping button. You can sort of pre-shop, in the wee hours when you're wondering what you're going to be doing. And then tomorrow morning, get your tail down here and purchase the things you're picking out online.
Even though they could just Google Maps, y'all, tell if somebody will write it down on the back of the envelope there, how do they find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. And for so many folks out there, we're in between Whataburger and Little Flower Catholic School. I know you know where they're at. You can find us online, like we said, mobilebaycoins.com. If you want to check out some of the pictures of the cool stuff, like and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook.
And the radio show. Fantastic radio
of
show.
Course.
Yeah, and it's you, it's Ron, it's guest, it's Tuesday nights.
Right here on 106.5, FM Talk, 6 to 7 p.m.
There we go. Angelo, I'll be seeing you pretty darn soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. We'll see you. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. It is. It's you're looking, you're like, oh, man, I have not gotten the gifts yet. I need to get the cards, because cards are important, and then get the gifts. Go get the gifts with Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right. Also, I want to give you a reminder, too. This is going on tomorrow. Dr. Lou sent the note here. Common Sense Campaign holding their annual Tax Day rally tomorrow. 8th of, oh, they, right. I would say May 8th. because I'm not trying to, like folks in my family, the military folks would say like 8 May. And I never wanted to like pretend I was them. So I've always said like May 8th, but Dr. Liu can do this. So he has a reason to speak in military speak. So tomorrow, 8 May, 11:30 at Fowl River Community Center, or you go to the commonsensecampaign.org website and get a flyer with a map link in it. Hamburgers and hot dogs will be provided free of charge. Speakers include Congressman Jerry Carl, who we talked to yesterday on the show. He was down on the border just east of San Diego yesterday talking to us. He's going to be at the Common Sense Campaign rally tomorrow in downtown Fowl River, and also State Auditor Jim Ziegler. So that's going on tomorrow, and it starts at 11 o'clock. More information yet, website commonsensecampaign.org. All right, there's so many texts here to get through, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your texts, and some recipes too. Yeah, I'm not like I just wonder, Epicurious, just for a second, to go back to the conversation we had at the beginning of the hour with that publication saying they're not going to put beef recipes in their magazine because cows are bad for the planet, but they are going to put a lot of other things. Farming, okay. Let's talk about things honestly. Even where I told you when I'm a partisan for something, I tell you, and I continue to talk about it, but I'll tell you, I'm partisan on the side of agriculture and farmers. But there's cost associated with producing food. There's no way to have the number of human beings we have on this planet and have them fed if it wasn't for farmers and my people, the American farmer. The numbers of what Epicurious rolled out and things were inaccurate, and that's why I wanted Aaron to come on and talk about that. But there are trade-offs out there. You want to eat, there are trade-offs out there. There's too many people that have no connection to how food gets in front of them, be it at a restaurant, be it at the grocery store. It just happens. Oh, look, there's food. Oh, wow, we got food. Look at all these choices of food. It doesn't just happen. And I think as we get greater disconnects, and I don't think around here as much, but in parts of the globe and parts of our country, maybe we need to put a class in school. Not just remember you did the food pyramid and all that, but a class in school. Like, all right, y'all, here's dinner. Okay, let's look at things on the plate of dinner. Here's how all those things were grown. They were farmed or ranched, grown, and ended up right here on your table. Maybe we got a generation of people in the big cities that don't get it. Although I see a good thing, I think, is the gardening movement. Okay, because unless you're really getting after it gardening, you're not providing all the vegetables, all the fruits you need for a year. But I think putting fingers in dirt for people may bring them more to the fold of how the world really works. And it's a darn fun, thing to do. Which, by the way, the high priest of all of us in the gardening world, all of us that are, you know, going home after, first thing I do, it depends. I see one child, because he's usually easier to find in the house when I get home. The boy is easier to find. The teenager is hidden in some cave, so I usually don't see her. So I see the youngest child, and then I see my tomato plants. Anybody who's a gardener knows what I'm talking about. I check on them as soon as I get home and stroll through the tomato plants and the jalapenos and the bell peppers and all that, and it brings a peace. And the high priest of the calling that is gardening is my buddy and y'all's buddy Bill Finch, Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Reminder, if you've not heard the show before, it is fantastic. Got Sip and Chew on first, get a little food talk on Sunday morning, then 9 o'clock, Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, and then you got Southern Fairways Golf right after. But if you're into gardening or you're thinking about getting into gardening, treat yourself. And you know what? You can hear the show as it airs live, 9 to 11. You can also check the replay out on Sunday evenings. And the super popular podcast of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, available by going to our website, fmtalk1065.com. Or you could just subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, all those good places. And have that and the other 52 hours a week of live local programming that comes from this studio right here at Airport and 65. You can check that out in podcast form as well. So while you're gardening, you can listen to gardening. All right, coming right back, check in with the news, and then Tiffany Ray from Taylor Martino joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, and a new face with a old bunch of friends. I don't mean they're old. They'll get after me on this. From Taylor Bartito and Tiffany Ray joining us now as somebody we have not talked to in the past, but I'm really excited to do it today. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this as your kind of history of, because it's always neat with Taylor Martino, all great attorneys, but it's like this toolkit of specialties that y'all have. And, you know, we'll talk, whether we're talking to Ruth Lichtenfeld and talk about the medical side of it, or, you know, talking to Ed Rowan, talking about his time in the Marine Corps, talking to Steve Martino. We're talking about specialties beyond the law. And yours is fascinating. You were a journalist.
Yes, I was.
You're getting in the facts now in law. Your job as a journalist was to get the facts.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, that's a big help moving from journalism into law, because I have a background in investigating stories, interviewing people, gathering the facts, presenting them, you know, in a kind of a cold, dispassionate, objective way.
Right.
So it was my job to try to make sure all sides were covered, which is helpful when you're trying to, you know, kind of weigh the different aspects of a case or right. a legal issue.
Well, yeah, and in conversations I've had in the past with other attorneys from Taylor Martino, they'll say that they how important it is the one-on-one with clients, because they ask these questions and the client, they're asked the right question. They bring something up that's important to the case of the client that we, the people, might not know that that's an important thing. But if you ask enough questions, you will find something that is important to the case.
Sure, sure. You have to make sure you get all of the information and you know what's going on. So it's important to know what questions to ask and to be thorough. And certainly
journalist training,
that comes a little bit naturally, yes. I guess, the who, what, when
right.
kind of thing.
Because we may come in and sit down with you and you could say, tell us everything. We tell you everything, but we didn't think of all these different things that you as a you know attorney with a journalist background will ask us a question. They'll be like, aha, eureka.
I suppose so. Yeah. But I think also, you know, journalists and also lawyers, they go into these professions you're attracted to because you have a natural curiosity and you're naturally interested in people. And so when you have that curiosity and that interest in people, the questions are going to come pretty right. naturally, because you're going to want to know the story yourself.
But I mean, that is the key from everybody I've talked to from Taylor Martino. They want their clients to come. They want to get to know, you know, get to know them. And I think that's that shows with the kind of people they bring on board.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I love that about Taylor Martino. It's a wonderful group of people. They're kind and they're fun. They work hard and, you know, they can be tough in court. You know, they're tough lawyers, but at heart, they're kind people and they're a pleasure to work with. It's a very collegial environment. It's very collaborative.
Right.
And I really like that. You know, we're not all kind of isolated in our right. little cubicles or anything. We all pitch in and help each other out, and we all bring our own strengths to the table. You know, use those to do the best job we can as a group.
Yeah, we were talking during the break there before we went on, and you were saying something to that effect that you, just in case the other day, you're collaborating, working behind the scenes on this one, you know, and I guess you'll all just kind of come together and cross-pollinate on that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Everyone has, you know, their background and their personal history, their previous work history in some cases. For example, Ruth Lichtenfeld, my colleague, also my law school classmate, she had a history in medicine. You know, she was a nurse before she came into the law. And so that's tremendously helpful in many, many cases. Mm-hmm. Ed Rowan, as you know, he has a military background. Eaton Barnard, he's been a litigator for so long. He has so much experience. And Steve Martino, same. You know, everybody brings their strength to the table.
And with that, when we, if we have this issue, we have something that has happened to us through no fault of our own, we've lost mobility, we've lost income, we've lost quality of life. It seems like there's somebody to put us with. There might be the right, even though there's a collaborative effort, there might be a perfect match for this client with this attorney from Taylor Martino.
Yeah, depending on the situation, mm-hmm. there might be more of a personal connection in terms of background or expertise to
right.
a particular kind of case. Yeah, and it lets us kind of branch out and do a lot of work.
You're going to come back and visit with me again soon, but we'll get to know each other more and more. But I see a couple notes here, just kind of getting to know people. That's interesting to me. So you're a yoga instructor.
Yes.
Outside. So wait, so as we're going through this selection of specialties, and it's interesting, the journalism part of it, the law degree, and also, am I right to say Zen of yoga? Kind of walk me through what, like, how yoga fits into your life, Tiffany?
I started doing it regularly when I was living in Atlanta. Before I moved to Mobile, I was working for a federal court, and it was just a nice outlet. It's a great workout. and it's a great way to de-stress, you know, lawyers. It's a fairly high stress career. Mm-hmm. So a lot of lawyers do yoga, I think.
Like 10 years ago, it was like, I don't know about that. Now it's like carpool line, the discussion going on at school is everybody's going to yoga.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, men, women, everybody. And everybody should do it, in my personal opinion.
Okay, could you take on a trouble case like me?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
See, let's do it.
Tiffany also has charity. Maybe not good judgment with having me on board, but charity tried to help me. Talk about your time. You talk about Atlanta and the time you spent in the United States Court of Appeals, 11th Circuit.
Oh, sure. I was a staff attorney there at the 11th Circuit. It was a wonderful learning experience. And then I continued on with the federal courts here in Mobile. I was clerking for a judge before I came on board at Taylor Martino. So I've spent quite a bit of time in the federal courts.
For an outsider like me, how does that time in those federal courts prepare you, or any of the courts prepare you for doing the job you're doing now as an attorney?
It's great preparation in a lot of ways. Just being able to see kind of behind the curtain, if you will, being able to see how the court works, being able to be there in the courtroom during hearings and trials and seeing how they work. I mean, there's a comfort factor that you get that's real important because, yeah, that's, you know, it's very nerve-wracking.
Right. But you're used to that environment. You've been in that environment so often, you walk back into it, it's like, yeah, okay.
I don't know if you ever get used to it. Maybe some people do. One thing that I really got from the experience was just so much respect for the courts and the justice system, just seeing how it operated and the people within it. It was really a wonderful experience that way. So I guess every time you go into a courtroom, it's a little awe-inspiring, I think. There's a lot.
Yeah, maybe getting used to it wasn't comfortable with it, maybe
yeah,
is the term.
Comfortable being there and, right, and playing your part, whatever that
which
might be.
Which is important because your clients, we're not used to it nor comfortable with the courtroom. We need you with Taylor Martino. We need you, Tiffany, to be that person for us.
Yes, that's what a lawyer does.
That is, it's great. I want to talk about this too. We mentioned getting those facts. So somebody who has had something happen, whatever it is, they can get that one-on-one. If they want to contact Taylor Martino, you're going to hear, somebody here in Mobile is going to hear what happened, right? I mean, this is not going to be farmed off to somewhere else.
No. You'll be sent to an attorney, one of us, and we will speak with you.
So the people you hear, like Tiffany and others, when they come on here, these are the people that you get to see in person when you have that consultation with Taylor Martino. All right, let's do this. How does somebody get in touch with you? What do they do online or telephone if they're riding down the road right now? What's the best way to just get that that appointment set?
Well, like everything, you can just Google Taylor Martino.
I was figuring that'd be it. Yes,
there will be a phone number there, and you can call it, and somebody will. We'll talk to you.
Excellent. Great. Great to meet you. And I look forward to us talking again.
Thank you so much.
All right, Tiffany Ray with Taylor Martino, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.